98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Pickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Pickley. Vince Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Pickley and Murata. This is the greatest.
Good morning and welcome.
Show the world.
Pickley and Murata.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio
really
show that's
is.
Ever existed.
It really, really
in
is.
In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Let's cut the crap, Mr. Murata.
Pickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Good morning, Valley sports fans. Happy Wednesday. Happy Inauguration Day. Happy everything to everyone. How about that? That about covers it for everybody.
Yes. All-inclusive happiness.
Yeah. And, you know, I was reading a story last night, and if you really want to be happy, you know what you should do? Or if you're lucky enough, you have found your artistic soulmate. Okay? It's a very interesting concept, and I'm not talking about a favorite film or a favorite band or a favorite actor. I'm talking about that something, that band, that movie, that novel that speaks to you so distinctly, it's like discovering a twin sibling. And you know that artistic soulmate is going to be with you the rest of your life. Now, I don't know if that's Depeche Mode for you. It might be. I know you've got a lot of artists you like, but is there one that fits you like that?
It's got to be Sandler.
It's got to be. Yeah, for you, it's probably Sandler. And for Carlin, it's probably that guy that you won Mustache Not a Mustache on.
Weird Al?
That dude.
No.
That guy? Weird Al Yankovic?
It's Willy Wonka.
Yes. That is true. That is true.
You see, they're making a Willy Wonka prequel.
Yeah.
About Willy Wonka before he opened the chocolate factory.
Really? Huh, and, that's and interesting.
You volunteered for that? I did, until I very depressingly realized that I am now exactly the same age that Gene Wilder was during the first Willy Wonka movie. So
that
I can't really play a young Willy Wonka.
I was taken aback the first time I learned how old you were. I was.
Yeah.
I'm not lying. And I guess
it's terrible.
You look very young for your age.
That your age is the only thing holding you back from playing Willy Wonka in this movie.
Yeah, I grew my hair out.
Well, you're definitely serious. I think you could do it. Who would bring more heart to that role than you?
That's one thing you would
do. It's the role I was born to play.
Yeah. So there you go. There's a poll question for you. Who is your artistic soulmate?
Who's yours?
Not your favorite.
Like a muse? Something that inspires you?
I don't know how much more to explain it than the way I just laid it out there. A film, an artist, a musician, an actor who is so finely in tune with your sensibilities. The pitch of that artist and his art is so finely pitched to who you are that it's like having a twin sibling.
Yeah, I don't know how... I mean... There's a lot that are close. I don't know if when you get to the twin sibling thing, that's a deep connection.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It is. It really, really is. Some people have that with authors. Some people feel that way about J.R.R. Tolkien. Some people feel that way. You know, there's a lot of stuff like that. It's just an interesting premise because the people that find it are it's an extra level of existential enjoyment you get from life. If you're lucky enough. Not only to find your real soulmate in life, but your artistic soulmate.
I like it.
A little food for thought.
What about all those people that are 0-for-2 on that front?
You might be the luckiest of all. Start the program, Carlin.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
We start the Splash for January 20th with the Phoenix Suns. They're back on the hardwood tonight against the new-look Houston Rockets. Suns reeling a bit, coming off a disappointing loss to Memphis on Monday. They've lost four of their last six. And once again, they'll be without big man Dario Saric, forward Jalen Smith, and center Damian Jones, who all remain in health and safety protocols. Cameron Payne, still questionable with the ankle sprain, although he did play in the last game. The Rockets, who are 1-2 since trading star guard James Harden to Brooklyn, will not have John Wall tonight. He is out with left knee soreness. That game gets underway at 7:30. You can hear it right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, beginning with pregame coverage at 7.
Yeah, got to win this one. I know it's not a must-win game. It's really ludicrous to suggest something like that in the NBA, but for the good of all of us, you got to win this one.
Yeah, coming home after this for back-to-back games on Friday and Saturday against Denver. Really good team, despite what the record says. They got an MVP candidate, Nikola Jokic. This is a big game to win. You want to reverse this trend that's going on. So we'll get into a lot of Suns angles today. Coyotes also back at it tonight, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights at T-Mobile Center. Vegas beat the Coyotes 4-2 Monday night as the two teams are in the midst of four straight games against each other. Puck drops at 8 o'clock. You can catch that on Fox Sports Arizona Plus.
Yeah, there you go.
Big game for the Coyotes, too. They can forge over 500. Four games.
Game two of their four-game series. Yeah, I know.
How many games is the whole season this year? Like 52 or something?
56.
56, so
yes.
Almost the 10th of the season they're done.
Almost. Big news from the NFL today. Jarrett, can you kill the music just for a second? Just pot it down, and then you can regain it. I think we need to reflect on this news.
All right.
Philip Rivers is calling it a career after 17 years in the NFL.
I will remember you.
Wow. I didn't know you cared.
Will you remember?
I'm just being a jerk about it.
Don't let your
Philip Rivers had himself a really good career, and he's got a really good reputation.
I know.
He did really good things for the NFL. And I think he performed very well for the Colts. I think he was good in that playoff loss. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him that last year elsewhere outside of San Diego was a positive experience for him. The bigger thing, though, and we're going to get into it today, is does the announcement of Philip Rivers, is that mean that the Larry Fitzgerald announcement, if there is going to be one, might drop at any minute? And the answer to that is yes. That's what the answer to that is.
It might. There's a lot of different ways to look at that question. I like that that's out there as well. Rivers was an 8-time Pro Bowler, 5th in league history with 63,440 passing yards, and ended his career with 8 straight seasons of 4,000 or more passing yards. And some people will say, oh, big deal. It's a passing league, 4,000 yards, not that big a deal. There's only a handful of guys that have done that 8 years
yeah,
in a row.
Yeah.
Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Peyton Manning, and Philip Rivers. That's it.
Now, because we care for our listeners far more than Doug Franz cares for you, who played a terrible joke on you all this morning, didn't he, Vinny?
Yeah, by saying Larry Fitzgerald was back.
Larry Fitzgerald's back. Dot, dot, dot. In the Waste Management Phoenix Open Pro-Am.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought Wolf was going to punch him.
Yeah. Probably should have. I'll say this because we care about our listeners. Be on guard when you hear the breaking news sounder at any point in time from this moment forward. Brace yourself. That's
yep,
all I'm saying.
There you go.
Just brace yourself.
The Detroit Lions have officially named their new head coach, hiring Dan Campbell away from the New Orleans Saints, giving him a 6-year deal. Campbell's head coaching experience limited to 12 games as an interim with the Miami Dolphins in 2015 after Joe Philbin was fired. He went 5-7. He's never been a coordinator in the league, and only those 12 games as an interim head coach. Rams reportedly tabbing Raheem Morris as their next defensive coordinator. Morris served as the interim head coach of the Falcons for most of 2020. He steps in for Brandon Staley, who parlayed his 1 year as Rams DC into a head coaching job with the Chargers. So the upheaval and movement continues in the NFC West. More so in the other three cities outside of Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. A division in flux, and the changes continue to come.
Mm-hmm. D-backs signed veteran lefty Ryan Buchter to a minor league deal yesterday. The 33-year-old pitched in 10 games with the Angels last year. He spent time with Atlanta, San Diego, Kansas City, and Oakland. The Toronto Blue Jays have dipped into the free agent pool, signing former Houston Astros outfielder George Springer to a reported six-year deal worth $150 million. Springer, a three-time All-Star and the MVP of the 2017 World Series. And also, and I continue to be amazed by this, even though I shouldn't be, fourth all-time in Major League history with 19 postseason home runs. That just goes to show you there's too many postseason games in baseball.
Yeah. And it's easy to get close to setting records when you know what pitch is coming.
That too!
Uh-huh.
The NCAA released the schedule for the 2021 men's basketball tournament on Tuesday. First round will begin on a Friday. Of course, the tournament held entirely in Indiana will begin with the first four on Thursday, March 18th at Mackey Arena in West Lafayette and Assembly Hall in Bloomington. First two rounds will be played at those venues plus four venues in Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium, Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Hinkle Fieldhouse, and Indiana Farmers Coliseum. From the 19th through the 22nd. So it's going to be a little truncated, a little weird that the opening day won't be on a Thursday, but instead on a Friday.
Yeah. Yes.
But, you know, we continue to make adjustments on the fly in all of our tweaking of the sports world. And finally, speaking of tweaking in the sports world, Tiger Woods has undergone a fifth back surgery and announced he'll miss PGA Tour events at Torrey Pines and Riviera, those in late January and mid-February.
Uh-huh. And you know what comes up very shortly after that? Augusta. Yeah, it's really weird to see this after watching that Tiger Woods documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a new appreciation for all of it. It was tawdry. It was salacious at times. It was good storytelling at times.
It was a little thin. It was a little unsatisfying. I think it was... It wasn't great, but it was good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good way to put it. There you go. There's your splash for Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. Coming up next, Suns in Houston. An important game tonight against the new-look Rockets. We'll get into all the aspects of it next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata.
You know, as far as him doing it every night, he's raised the bar. When you have a game like that and you make plays like that, that's what we expect of him. He has the ability, and now he has to have the mental stamina to do it every single night. And I think the more he does that, people are going to get out of his way, or he's going to generate shots for us on the backside. So it's a huge component for our offense, but it's certainly something that we expect from DA every single night.
Monty Williams, the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. He joined our show yesterday here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, and that was a big topic of discussion during that conversation, was the performance of DeAndre Ayton in Memphis on Monday in a game the Suns disappointingly lost. But if you want to talk about the bright spots, DeAndre Ayton was probably numbers 1 through 5 on that list after that performance. He played with an aggressiveness. Didn't put up his best stat line, 18 points, 16 rebounds, still very impressive. But it was just the optics of what went into that performance with DeAndre Ayton. And I think Monty Williams hits on something very important there. The guys that do it every night, those are the star players in the NBA. When you could pencil in a certain benchmark of production and a style of play. DeAndre Ayton is obviously not there. I desperately hope that after coming off that game in Memphis, we have another good performance from DeAndre Ayton tonight. I think the matchup is a lot tougher for him going up against a guy in Christian Wood, who's played 98% of his minutes this year in Houston at the center position. He is a very active, long athlete, and I think a much tougher assignment for DeAndre Ayton than what he saw in Memphis. But I would just hate to, after one game, go back to the, it was a flash in the pan, which inevitably will happen every time DeAndre Ayton takes a step backwards at this point.
Yeah, but again, whether you hate talking about it or not, it's the number one issue of the Phoenix Suns, and the reaction of what DeAndre Ayton does is secondary to what DeAndre Ayton does, in my opinion, and what he did was something that is clearly within him, played with more force. What he did is now being expected nightly, as Monty Williams said on this radio program, and to the media. These are his expectations. So, yes, if he has games where he falls asleep, it's a failure, and we will talk about it, and it will be on him. The other thing that makes this so interesting to me is that the Phoenix Suns, there are rumors now, if you follow Dave Pasch's Twitter line, that the Phoenix Suns might have been shopping DeAndre Ayton after year two, going into this year.
Yep. Dave Pasch joined Doug and Wolf this morning, said that very thing.
Where is the consistency? And look, they looked at trading him last summer. It didn't work out. I think they're still trying to figure out, is this guy going to get it? And I hope he does, but at what point do you say it's not going to happen? I don't know. I'm not saying we're there. I'm asking the question. When do we say that? And maybe they think it's after this year. And maybe it, because of COVID, you know, last year was messed up and this year's a little messed up. So let's wait till the middle of next year. I don't know the answer to that.
The part about the Suns shopping DeAndre Ayton last summer, I had not heard.
You and me both.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, clearly it's not something you want to be flaunting.
No.
But I certainly wouldn't blame the Phoenix Suns if they were. Keep in mind now, DeAndre Ayton was suspended 25 games last year, and that's not a thing that employers in the NBA are going to take real lightly. And then when you forecast the future and you maybe got your hooks into Chris Paul and you think you're going to get a guy like Jay Crowder, You might be looking at that wondering, okay, can we parlay this into something more for the here and now? It all goes away if DeAndre Ayton just keeps playing the way he did. The 18 and 16, he's had better stat lines before, but he's never played a louder game, in my opinion. And that, the impact, the effect, the residual effect on others that we've been talking about, you can see it. I mean, you can't deny it. You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clearly there. He's clearly tall enough to dunk the ball on most everybody. And so he's going to write his ticket, whether that future is going to be in Phoenix or elsewhere. It's going to have nothing to do with the people who are critical of him.
But on that front, and I've said this before, I believed it when I said it originally. I still believe it now. I think DeAndre Ayton is the most scrutinized athlete we've ever seen in Phoenix, Arizona at this point of his career. But I got proof of it today.
Okay.
I was going to pick up a little food before the show, and I'm listening to Doug and Wolf. And DeAndre Ayton last year, was it his best year? No. You mentioned the suspension. Big source of frustration. Mm-hmm. We talked about him missing a COVID test in a bubble game that was very pivotal for the Suns at the time. Very frustrating. He also averaged, in games that he played, 18 and 11, a benchmark that was met by three other players in the league. Giannis, who won his second MVP, Joel Embiid, and Domantas Sabonis. Is he at the level of those players right now? No, he's scratching the surface, I get it. But I hear Doug say, oh, DeAndre Ayton got suspended, and then when he came back, he had one good game against the Knicks, basically is what he said.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, one good game.
He had more than one good game.
He had plenty of good games. He had some stinkers in there, too. But
right.
That just, and that's the main source of my, and I'm not a patient person by nature.
Well, with him, you are.
I know. when I find something to be, you know, unfair to a point, I do have patience for those people.
Listen, okay, I don't understand, again, what is not fair about expecting a pro athlete who was the number one pick who's making $10 million a year
to
play the game with real intensity? What's not fair about that?
I get that. But even Eddie Johnson, who's been a critic of DeAndre Ayton, on this very show and on Suns broadcast, he brought up patience.
Yeah,
today.
I mean, look, message sent, right? Obviously, you know, but we got to remember, DeAndre Ayton is 22 years old,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes we get caught up in the size of an individual and think that they should be physically mature as well as looking the part. And sometimes you have to be patient, and I have to check myself as well. But I think what really frustrates, I think, a lot of people that when they see somebody that's talented is they want them to hurry up and get to that point that they're going to be comfortable with them and they're going to enjoy them. And a lot of times that's not fair. And, you know, so I think we have to be a little patient, but also give a little push. And the push came from his teammates.
I love the way Eddie laid that out there. Patience with a push. And, you know, I agree. I think the push came through, at least for that game. Were the ingredients right for that? Well, they didn't play a game. There wasn't practice going on. There seemed to be a lot of interaction, whether it was digitally or through electronics, but the message got through. That message needs to be constant. And if it is, I think we'll have these conversations a lot less than
Listen.
If he comes out though tonight and it's another unaggressive 10-point
lost in space kind of game,
we're gonna, I mean, two of the three of us especially are going to be angry tomorrow and criticize him. I also think like it is year three. Year three of it. I know he's still young as an age. It is year three, so I think it's more fair to criticize him this year. I mean, you can only wait so long for him to sort of start becoming what you want him to become, don't you think?
Well, if you're asking me, the idea of patience applies to a young kid who is learning how to play the game of basketball. And on some level, DeAndre Ayton is that guy. That's not what I'm asking for. I'm not asking for you to suddenly know everything about drop steps and post moves and all that. I'm not asking that. I'm just asking to play with force and intensity. That's it. That's it.
And I think that's fair.
Too much to ask. But, and me getting critical when he won't do that, that's not me not being patient.
But what happens, because this is inevitable too, on a night where he does play with force and intensity but doesn't produce?
Again, I have never been a numbers guy with DeAndre Ayton. You can sit here and recite the rare air he occupies with what he's averaged this stage in his career. I could not care less. I want impact. And what he did the other night was impactful. If he plays with force and he goes up to get, and if he goes up to dunk the ball and he gets rejected, okay, I'll be fine with that. That's all I'm asking is elite level intensity. You can give that to you. You can give that to anybody. That's it. That's all I want.
Well, we'll see if he's got elite level intensity tonight as the Suns take on the Houston Rockets. Again, 7:30 is the tip-off, 7 o'clock pregame. You can hear it here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coming up next, Patrick Peterson's got a new podcast out, and he says he wouldn't be surprised to see another star land in the NFC West. We'll tell you what he said next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
That man is gone.
Yeah, man, he out of there. I don't know who he's going to play for, but, hey, you know, I won't be surprised, though, if we see him in the 49ers uniform.
Patrick Peterson on the All Things Covered podcast with Bryant McFadden. That came up.
Yeah.
And it's pretty telling when you got guys, and say what you will about Patrick Peterson, but a guy that's been in the league for a decade, he knows a lot of people, players in the league. They have a good feeling of what's going on. And I know there's speculation on whether or not Deshaun Watson will stay in Houston. We had Sarah Barshop on yesterday, and she says it's incumbent on the Texans to fix it. They have to fix it. It might be beyond fixing. So when Patrick Peterson says it wouldn't surprise me to see him in San Francisco, I definitely think that's a possibility. Now, I am rooting hard for the Miami Dolphins to be the team that swings
the trade for
Deshaun Watson.
Anybody. Yeah. I listen to that, and I just wonder, what makes him say that? What makes him identify San Francisco? Is it a hunch?
Because they haven't even been one of the most rumored teams.
Yeah, but
we heard a lot, the Dolphins, the Jets.
Let's connect the dots, though. On one side of the equation, you have the Deshaun Watson unhappiness.
Mm-hmm.
He does not want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then go back and look at San Francisco coming off of a Super Bowl appearance, a game that they led against the Kansas City Chiefs with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback.
Yeah, he's joining a Super Bowl-ready team is what you're saying.
Yeah, but they were sniffing around other quarterbacks. They went after Tom Brady. They want to upgrade that position. This year, in a lot of ways, for San Francisco, it turned out to be a lost year between COVID and all the injuries, the ridiculous number of injuries they have. They're still in position to maybe make that happen because the guys that they have coming back and the guys that they could bring back that are free agents, You add a top-flight quarterback, it is a Super Bowl-winning team.
That would be frightening. How good that would be. Could you imagine Deshaun Watson, a young Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Mostert.
George Kittle?
Yeah, George Kittle. I forgot about him. That could
become like Mahomes and Kelsey 2.0.
You're right. So that scares the heck out of me. It might also be Patrick Peterson's way of going, okay, Cardinals, look what you might have to be dealing with. You might want to sign a lot of cornerbacks starting with me. That kind of thing, maybe. I don't know. But I do think that, if Deshaun Watson is driving this bus, and it sounds like he will be, given the fact that he's got a no-trade clause, then he can pretty much pick where he's going. And if he looks at San Francisco and says, California, Bay Area, Super Bowl-ready team, great lineage of quarterbacks, sign me up, then we're all hosed.
Yeah, and there seems to be every day a little bit more in terms of smoke around San Francisco and Watson on the realm of possibilities. Keyshawn Johnson, ESPN Radio.
I like San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
Give us the rationale.
I like Kyle Shanahan. I like their defense. They're going to get Bosa back.
Look at everybody.
Javon Kinlaw is a young up-and-comer on the defensive side of the ball that they drafted out of South Carolina a year ago. They're going to retool the secondary and get a shutdown corner to potentially replace Richard Sherman. The running game was there. You know what they want to do. And I just think that Seattle is there. The Rams got to figure some stuff out. Arizona's going to be Arizona. They may win one more game than they did this year, but that's a good division to be in.
That was just Keyshawn trying to bait Gambo into another bet. That's all that was.
Nothing.
Only one more game, Keyshawn? Oh, yeah? You want to put your money where your mouth is?
Yeah.
But let's just go down that road. We're talking about the possibility. Mm-hmm. Let's say that comes to fruition. What an uphill feeling the Arizona Cardinals will have.
Yeah, I think that also in the long run, I think you look at both the Rams and the 49ers, and they're operating as if both franchises are very hungry. They're very, very aggressive. The Rams, new stadium, need to capture that L.A. market. They need the buzz, the sizzle. They've got a very rich person running the team. And then you got the 49ers that have great synergy between the GM and the head coach right now, and they are in the gas pedal.
Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing about the 49ers is that they have a not good record and a pretty good draft pick, not because they're a bad team, because they had a lot of injuries. So they can give up a first-round pick this year and next year, let's say, if they have to, because they have enough talent just coming back from injury that they don't have to worry about, we need that first-round pick, to sort of rebuild our team the next couple of years.
Yeah, that's so thanks a lot, Patrick Peterson, for bringing that up. Vinny brought it up, too. It's something that – you brought up the Deshaun Watson here instead of for Kyler Murray.
No, the week you were gone, right around the holidays, I brought up with the Watson 49ers? To San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be, and we're not the only ones who would be saying that. They'd be saying that in Seattle. They'd be saying that in L.A. as well. They'd be like, all right, how are we competing with that? Because you're just not. You're just not.
No, not really. Another interesting tidbit from that podcast from Patrick Peterson. A lot depends on, even if Deshaun Watson lands in the division, he might not be facing him because he's an unrestricted free agent going into this offseason. Here was another snippet of that podcast, the All Things Covered podcast, where he talks about his desire to play for one of his old defensive coordinators.
Coach Bowles definitely, I tell him all the time, every time I get an opportunity to see him, I wish I get an opportunity to play with him again, because Coach Bowles definitely, he's a special, special football-minded coach, and I definitely cherish all the moments that we had an opportunity to spend together.
I don't think that's too inflammatory, a guy he enjoyed playing for, there is a layer of interest added to it when you talk about him being a free agent. Now, will Todd Bowles be the defensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers next year? They're running out of he's running out of spots to get another head coaching job. They're down to two available jobs in Philadelphia and Houston. And I know he's interviewed with the Eagles, but could you see Patrick Peterson maybe making his way to Philly to play with Todd Bowles again?
Well, the feeling would have to be mutual. Todd Bowles would want to have to want Patrick Peterson back. And I think Patrick Peterson's in a tough spot, because if you're not an elite cover corner, how much interest are you going to generate? And I don't think Patrick Peterson is that anymore. He once was. He's still pretty good. But he doesn't. You're not going to give him a big chunk of your salary cap if he can't shut down a number one wide receiver week after week after week. And I don't think he's that guy anymore. He's 31, and so all the arrows are pointing towards Patrick Peterson either having to take a moderate amount of money or start stringing together some 1-year deals.
I might be completely wrong when I say this. I don't think there's going to be much of a market for a big multi-year deal for Patrick Peterson.
I
agree with you. I think the performance has slipped enough, and maybe that's why he's talking about guys he'd like to play for, because on a 1-year deal, Patrick Peterson can pick and choose. And we know this, you know, Todd Bowles is from the Bruce Arians coaching tree. One thing about BA, he's very loyal to players that he's coached on other teams and bringing them back.
That's what I was saying. It's almost more likely if he stays in Tampa, because Bruce Arians the last 2 years is just running a ton of former Cardinals players and stuff.
I think that's a possibility as well. But I
think a lot of it has to do too with what exactly happens with the Tampa season. If they go and win the Super Bowl, I doubt BA's coming back. I would really be stunned if Tom Brady came back. The Buccaneers might very well to say to Todd Bowles, "Hey, listen, just please don't make your decision until after the season's over. This might be yours here." I don't know. I had heard a few weeks ago that Philadelphia was really, really interested in bringing in Todd Bowles.
I think that would be a good hire for
them. I think so, too. I think that's where he's from. I think he'd succeed very well there. So, I don't know. It's fascinating. I think Patrick Peterson, I think the lack of market interest in Patrick Peterson might lead him back here for one more year, maybe, 1-year deal if he doesn't get the kind of money. But again, I don't even know if that interests the Cardinals.
I mean, can you see a similar ending where feelings are involved and maybe feelings getting hurt, similar to the Tyrann Mathieu situation?
I mean, no.
You brought it up earlier in the week that the Cardinals actually made a better offer than the Texans did. But
by then, Tyrann Mathieu was done with Arizona.
The feelings were
snakes in the grass.
Yeah.
So the feeling wasn't mutual. I don't think Patrick feels that way. I think Patrick wants to stay here. You know, his wife's a doctor, a healthcare professional. I think that Patrick just loves to golf weekdays. No better place to be at. I think all things being considered, he'd like to be here. But again, it's just how much money would he be willing to play for? I don't know.
It's going to be interesting.
It's a tough fit because, I mean, for years we've been looking for that cornerback opposite Patrick Peterson. We still don't have that guy, and now Patrick Peterson isn't who Patrick Peterson once was.
Well, and if
I don't know what you do with that cornerback position, but it's problematic for the Cardinals.
Well,
and don't talk to me about Robert Alford. Okay. Okay, seriously.
The next year is his year, Dan.
Next year is his year.
Hey, he should be fresh.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Coming up next, we'll zoom out, take a look at the rest of the NFL coaching searches and the latest with Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta. Hash marks.
Team source told me that the Chiefs are cautiously optimistic that Patrick Mahomes can return. He's feeling good. He's had no major setbacks in the process, but they want to make sure he clears a few stages first. He has to go through non-contact drills. He also has to be cleared for contact by both the team and an independent neurologist. So mainly they just need to gauge how much exertion he can go through without issue.
It's Jeremy Fowler of ESPN talking about the condition of Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, left the playoff game last week against Cleveland. Chad Henne had to finish it up. Concussion protocol. There was reports out of Kansas City yesterday, Bick, that said Mahomes had crossed several key barriers on his way to being cleared, but there's still obviously the evaluation going on. I think, you know, it's Wednesday. Game's not until Sunday. At this point, I think I would be surprised if Patrick Mahomes isn't ready to go.
Listen, I would have said that to you Sunday night, that I'd be surprised if he wasn't playing in the championship game. I think that there's something about the NFL that I think that when you get to a certain level of play or games of real importance that the show is going to go on, and that's just the way it's going to be. If the player is willing, it's going to happen for the player. We've heard very little about Patrick Mahomes' medical condition, haven't we? And I'm not saying that's rare. Teams don't come out and volunteer, innate details of how a certain injured player is doing. Mm-hmm. But this is a moment of the NFL and concussions being under the microscope. It really is. And the NFL has done a lot of lip service to this subject. They've done a lot of real stuff to help progress in that area. But this is their big stage. And their big stage demands big-time quarterbacks playing football. Nothing makes a big-time football game feel small than having a bad backup quarterback involved in it. And that wasn't the case with Chad Henne last week, but most of the times it is true. And I know Patrick Mahomes, from listening to him, he's the type of guy that will do anything to be out there. So I don't doubt any of that. There was a report out of Kansas City that he's going to practice today, mm-hmm. albeit very lightly. Sort of like a gently used item you find at the store. Does he need to practice? No, but I think he needs to show that he is not in the darkness.
Well, that's the big thing about the biggest thing is being cleared. And you heard Jeremy Fowler say it, being cleared for contact by both the team and by a neurologist. But yeah, it would be a good sign if even on a limited basis, Patrick Mahomes could be a participant in practice today.
You will know. Patrick Mahomes is fully healed if and when he takes a big hit in that Bills game and it's not an issue. If he goes down hard on the turf and he gets up immediately woozy, then he was probably never in condition to be on the football field in the first place.
Probably.
So,
or if it's one of those things where he's just not that, he doesn't run that much. Like he's not, like usual, he doesn't feel as comfortable or look as comfortable running and stuff, or mm-hmm. they don't call as many design run plays. I know it's not as much as like Lamar Jackson, but he is a mobile
quarterback.
But
he was hurt on a designed run.
And Vinny, you're absolutely right when you say that for all the love Andy Reid has gotten, Andy Reid is responsible in a weird way for that concussion. That was really a dumb play call point in time.
If Patrick Mahomes is 100% healthy before that play and he's not visibly hobbled by a foot injury,
it's still
then,
dumb.
Then Andy, I mean, he ran.
But I know what you're
Patrick
saying.
Patrick Mahomes scored a touchdown earlier in the game on a designed run. There's a lot less criticism, but I've heard almost no criticism outside of this show on Andy Reid calling that play for a quarterback who obviously wasn't moving very well. Mm-hmm. Now, the result was not intended or planned for or anticipated, but they never are. I'm keeping my quarterback out of harm's way every way I can if I'm Andy. It's not the same thing, to Jared's point. It's not the same thing as Kyler Murray being hobbled and not being able to run. Patrick Mahomes can absolutely kill you from the pocket. He's got the best arm talent of any quarterback in football.
In
football history. Yeah. So if you make him one-dimensional, that one dimension is still probably going to beat you. So it's not the exact same thing.
No, yes, the Chiefs' offense can do just fine without Patrick Mahomes running the football. Yeah. Cardinals, on the other hand, it's another story, unfortunately.
Yeah, other quarterback news. Phillip Rivers calling it a career. Actually played really well in his 1 year as a Colts quarterback, gave the Bills everything they could handle in that first-round playoff matchup. But after 17 years, he's riding off into the sunset. Now the questions about the resume of Phillip Rivers. Here's Dominic Foxworth from ESPN, leaving no doubt on what he thinks.
Phillip Rivers is obviously going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, even though he's never gotten to that Super Bowl, never won a Super Bowl, or never even played in a Super Bowl. But throughout all this time, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league and had a tremendous career.
I think that's the numbers are immense. You look at the statistical, piling of numbers that Phillip Rivers has, and he's among the all-time leaders in just about every category. His availability was legendary. Never mm-hmm. missed games, never got hurt. Those two things, obviously, very big. And I'm not going to sit here and disagree because of my own personal feelings about Phillip Rivers. I do think he was overrated for a good portion of his career, but that's, today's not the discussion
you.
For that.
But that's, you're right, exactly.
But let's look at this group of quarterbacks now that have tremendous career statistics, never won the big one, never mm-hmm. got to the big one, and just stuck around a long time. There's a whole group of them. Phillip Rivers, to a certain degree. I think Carson Palmer's in that mix. Couple guys still playing. Matt Ryan, if Matt Ryan continues on this trend, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
He got to the Super Bowl, at least.
He did. But I think, right?
And he won an MVP, right?
He did.
Which Phillip Rivers did neither of those two.
He did neither, but
Phillip
I think
Rivers is better than Matt Ryan.
I think Rivers' resume is still stronger for the Hall of Fame.
If you're comparing the
Matthew Stafford,
the good comparison is, who do you think is better, Phillip Rivers or Carson Palmer? Carson Palmer, both of them were chained to bad franchises for a while. I think Phillip Rivers was a really good ambassador to the league. You could make an argument, I saw it on Twitter earlier today, that no player in NFL history was better mic'd up on the field than Phillip Rivers. Had a special brand of trash talking.
He was up there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't swear.
That you wouldn't swear, right. But it was
but
filthy.
He never stopped talking.
But he wouldn't swear, right? But it was still vicious nonetheless. I think that... I wonder how tempted he was to play one more year after how well he did in Indianapolis. But his plan was to go and get one more year in, to play a year on his terms and then get out. And he did. And I think that it's not exactly a happy ending, because he's going to be on that list of guys who do not have a Super Bowl or a ring. But I think the way Phillip Rivers ended was he can be very prideful. He can feel very proud of himself for what he did.
No, Matt Ryan is top 10 all time in yards passing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Has more than John Elway.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford is going to have the same kind of resume. Are these guys first ballot Hall of Famers?
That's the prime example of yards don't mean as much anymore.
Yeah, it's numbers. Again, I think to me, Phillip Rivers was a better quarterback than Matt Ryan.
Well, Phillip the most
Rivers
amazing,
not great, but he was better than Matt Ryan in my mind.
The most amazing stat for me on Phillip Rivers is he took over as the Chargers starting quarterback in 2006 and never missed a game after that.
Wow. Well, the Chargers chose him over Drew Brees, which is one of the great organizational misfires, if you will. And it's not a terrible miss. Phillip Rivers is a good quarterback. But they also gave up on Drew Brees.
They did. Would Drew Brees' career have been the same had they not given up on him?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a very good question.
So many questions and so little time to answer
them.
Coming up next, he's the new chief hockey development officer of the Arizona Coyotes. The one and only Shane Doan will join us straight ahead. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.